We've been reading this week, several of us that have been standing up here, and I hope you've been reading the prophecies. I want to read the one from June 15th. You have all the strength you need to have revival or have victory. Might as well say the same. It says this: too many of you are holding your mistakes against yourself. Too many of you are holding your past mistakes, and the enemy is using it as proof that you won't overcome and you won't make it. How many of you know he's a liar? He wants to convince you that you're not who the Word says that you are. And there is an underlining theme this week, and a lot of it goes into a place of change. All of it goes into a place of change. And the Lord just keeps telling us that path into change. One of the major things that the enemy wants to do is he wants to come at your hope. The Word says in Proverbs 13, well, you might as well turn there, and I'll read the rest of this. But this is a familiar portion of Scripture, Proverbs 13, 12. But it says, maybe you've tried 1,000 times to change your lifestyle. Maybe you've tried 1,000 times to start praying or start fasting like you want to. Well, that's not me. I love the way Gary says stuff. He goes, don't ask me how I know this stuff. And then he gets into the Nunyas. Maybe you've tried all these things 1,000 times, so you start to hide a little bit because you don't want anyone to know. But the Lord says, yes, you can do this. Don't quit enduring. Everybody say, yes, I can.
Yes, I can.
I will not stop enduring. Now, one of the major prophecies of the foundation of this church was the original prophecy, which was based on endurance. And the closer we get to revival, the more that we understand how important that is. Because it seems like right on the precipice of anything that God wants to do, and that place being the first place being changing you and changing me, it seems like that even though we've always been accustomed to levels of attack and tribulation and all those kinds of things, it's just automatic that the enemy begins to step it up. And one of the things that he begins to do in the midst of coming at you, even though a lot of what he's coming at us with is the parts of us that hasn't changed, he continues to tell us that we're not going to be able to make it, that we're not going to be able to endure. Well, I can tell you this afternoon, he's a liar, and God's word is true. It says, don't quit trying, because he won't quit on you. Don't stop. You're not just alone for the ride, you're part of revival. For I have strength, so much strength, says the Lord. So much strength that I don't need yours. Hallelujah. We need his. But he doesn't need ours. If we can just get out of the way. Kenneth Hagin used to say, if there was any way to just, once a Christian got born again, to just cut their heads off and let them live out of their spirit, they'd be all right. We can't do that no more than we can take that 3-year trip to heaven that Gary was talking about. But we can be renewed in the spirit of our mind. That disposition, that going forward. For I have strength, so much strength, says the Lord, so much strength that I don't need yours. So rest. Have peace to know that whatever fight the enemy puts on you, whatever fight your flesh puts on you, you have all the strength you need and more through me to have victory. There will never be, says the Lord, and I like that. There will never be, says the Lord, there will never be a time that you don't have enough. There will never be a moment that Satan, or the moment that you do not have enough. And the word says here in Proverbs chapter 12, or chapter 13, verse 12, it says, hope deferred maketh the what? Heart sick. It maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life. It says, whosoever despises the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Hallelujah. What he's telling us there is that the way that the soul is renewed is to revere the commandments, to go into the word of God. Now, verse 12 says that when we're looking forward with an expectation to something and it doesn't take place as soon as we hope that it would. How many of you feel like that you should be past certain things that you're not yet past? Hallelujah. Both hands and feet. And the enemy comes in that place and begins to work on that hope. But there is a supernatural hope beyond that. We've been hearing a place called done around here for a long time. It's a place in the spirit that goes beyond the mind. Now the mind begins to join in with that. The more the mind begins to line up with the spirit. And even those places where your spirit is being suppressed, even where possibly wrong thinking and wrong doctrine could get in there, the more that the word is revered and not despised, the more that it not only changes your mind, but it causes that expectation of the change of what God wants to do in you to come to a new level. Now, Romans chapter 4, we'll just turn there. It's familiar with us, or familiar to us. Just a moment, I want to have somebody testify, but I want to read this. Romans chapter 4. Well, this is very familiar to us. Verse 18, it says, well, I'll start in 17. It says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him who he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now, he's talking about God here, and he said, then he goes on to talk about Abraham. God was quickening the dead. We could go into the born-again experience in that, but we're not going to go there right now. It just says in verse 18, it says, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which it was spoken, so shall thy seed be. How many of you know that there is a hope beyond hope? There's a hope when your hope runs out and God is standing there with a supernatural hope. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. If we looked at our experience up to now and said, well, where's revival? We've been talking about revival for a long time. And if it's not happening, well, then how do I know that I'm being changed? And then that whole thing begins to start. See, this is where it's so important for us. The word says that, where it says that we are supposed to cast down imaginations. He doesn't do that for us. We have to be the one who takes charge over all our thoughts. Because the thought that you allow here, it might not be so bad. But the thought that you allow here, if it's anywhere deferred from hope, or the hope of you being changed, or the hope of revival, or the hope of the healing of your family, even if there's a question, man, we have been learning again how important it is, the words that we speak. Thank you, Gary. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the message that's been coming out of here recently. Because there's a choo-choo train. And the choo-choo train is like this. It's got boxcars to it. And whatever is allowed here, it might not be so bad. Well, we're, you know, as a church, as a pastor, I guess this is all we'll ever see. Finances has been this way for years. Now, you non-pastors, you don't think like this. We'll never grow. This is always the way we'll be. Those sitting in the pew are wondering, why doesn't pastor ever change? He needs help. But the train has boxcars to it. And what you allow here, it's not so bad in deferring the hope. But guess what? It's connected to something else. And if you allow something here to stay very long that is negative and contrary to the Word of God, it will introduce you to the next boxcar in line. So that where you are on the, where you are at the front at the engine and going forward and saying, we're going to have revival, we're going to have revival. If that dominion, if the word, according to Proverbs, is despised, in other words, that doesn't mean you say, oh, I hate the word. That's not what it's saying. It's saying if you turn from it and don't heed it, as if to say, the only thing that's going to keep my soul in a place of hope where it doesn't get deferred is the Word of God. And if I stop thinking like the Word of God, I can literally go from a place where I'm leading the charge of saying, we're going into revival and everything that we believe is going to take place and the blind are going to see, the lame are going to walk, all those wonderful things. But if through the period of time I'm not staying in the Word of God, every one of these boxcars can lead me down to a place, a caboose down here, where I'm hardly believing anymore in the things that I once believed in. I'm hardly believing in. And at that point in time, the soul begins to branch out. It begins to branch out into places that really makes it feel good. We preach a two-part. We preach the power, but we also preach the mortification, the necessity of dying to the flesh. Now, you've heard that this week. In that, there is something inside of us that says, I believe that if I follow this, it's going to scoot me. How many of you ever use the word scoot? It's going to scoot me over here closer to Christ. But I've got to keep doing it. Because otherwise, at some point, if I don't, then I'm going to begin to say, you know what? Those guys are really legalistic. And I'm hearing somebody over here that it's really starting to touch my heart. I'm walking into levels of liberty that I've never known before. How many of you know the soul can take you into levels of liberty also? But it's a false liberty. At the end, it will leave you in a caboose. It will leave you in a place where the heart is going to be sick. It's going to dump you off in Never Never Land. And that's not a good place to be. Abraham, the word, of course, there's a lot of teaching here, but the fact of the matter, or the truth of the matter is, he got to a place where he realized, based on the promise that God had made to him concerning he and Sarah, and I love the way Gary always talks about that, that Abraham wasn't such a hot rod when he got that promise and all those wonderful things. But the bottom line is this, that he pressed past. Here's a man with a dead spirit. But because of the visions that God had given him and the Word of God, he pressed past the natural hope of believing that it was impossible. And he began to believe in a place where God says, Abraham, I can do this. I can absolutely do this if you won't give up. Now, I have watched the path that we're on. I've watched it in power over the last 17 years. But I begin to watch it in power of watching what it will do in the place. I don't know if you guys heard it or not, and it's not yet been out there, but it was given yesterday, so I I believe it's fine for me to mention it. It has not been all judged like is the perfect way that they do things around here, the prophecies. And the man that gave it says, I'm probably going to get some persecution. But up here on this stage, God promised us and said, this is the year of change. This is the year of all those things becoming, this is just paraphrasing, I'm not saying it verbatim. But there's something coming next year that has power to it. It has that dunamis power. It has that strength. Now, what I've been watching is this, everything leading up to that. We prayed for my associate today. And I just know that I know that I know that Homer Betancourt is healed. Praise God. We're not waiting to 2015 for him to be healed. He's healed now. And I don't want to be, I want to preface this by saying I certainly don't want to be misunderstood, because what we're after, you know, you listen to some people sometimes and they've given up hope. They've given up healing, hope on their healing. They've given up hope on the restoration of different things in their life. And they'll say, well, you know, the body's one thing, but the spirit's another. As long as you just have the love of God working in you, and as long as you just know that you're His and He's your Father, that's the most important thing. And that is. But a lot of times they'll trade that off for everything that comes with that. They'll trade that off for the healing and all the miracles. And they'll say, well, you know, this is just the way that He wants me to be. So they drop the hope and they say, as long as I'm in love with Him, that's the most important thing. It is the most important thing, but taking you or Him taking you into that place of love, there is something that comes from that. There is a tsunami. There is a place that we've continually, affectionately called done around here that takes us to that place where we say, you know, before the miracle is manifest, I believe I possess it. And that's the grassroots. That's the foundation of where we're believing. We're believing and understanding that as change takes place in us, well, we'd love to have all the miracles right now. But before that day, it's already been given to us. But before we begin to see those manifestations, we're also right now understanding that as He changes us, we're getting closer and closer to that place where the most important thing is taking us to the next thing that is the most important thing, and that is the calling card of all the world, the nations of the world will be saved. Now, I just wanted Homer, I've always known Homer to be seeing. I've never known him like he's not in a condition, but he's just temporarily in this. So he's always been very active. He was a manager of a very large propane company in South Florida. And he's just temporarily going through a trial. Just temporarily going through a trial. But I wanted him to share just in the area of hope and what God has been and how God has been building that hope up through the power of His Word and through intimacy over these last several months. This is a temporary condition. Hallelujah. He knows that, but how many of you would like to hear him share for just a moment his testimony? Hallelujah. Now, Homer, there's more people here than there is in Immokalee on a Wednesday night. So you're getting a chance to talk to all these sophisticated people.
Testing. All right, hallelujah. You do not realize how valuable the walk in the Spirit is till you face adversity. I mean, literally, you have to appreciate the Holy Ghost. You have to appreciate what we're taught. But I tell you what I appreciate so much is serving under a man of God like Pastor Bronk and hearing, you know, Gary and Jim Martin and Alan Taylor and a friend of mine, Barry Johnson, hearing their words, their teachings and their preaching, they have helped me so much. And last but not least, you gotta so much appreciate a man like Pastor Dave Roberson that has labored, and we're here because of his labor. And I don't know if he's here tonight, but I just thank all of you guys for your labor, those hours of praying in the Holy Ghost, receiving these mysteries that have been hidden for 2,000 years. And I can't express to you how precious Christ is. You can't express it. And I just thank God for those over me in the Spirit that have taught me with some of the best. We have some of the finest teachers. Somebody says, well, you in the world, I mean, you might say, well, have you been over the world? No, I've been to Texas and Oklahoma. So, no, I haven't. But in case I did, I'd still have the same disposition. So I just want to thank God, especially to my pastor, Miss Candy. I call him the big dog. That's his nickname, and I thank him so much. I assume he's still behind me. I don't know. He's in front of me. I knew that. Same thing, back, front. Don't correct me, Pastor Bronk. I got the mic now, brother. Hallelujah. I can't believe I just played my pastor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I'm here. I'm here. You know, in December of 2013, just real quick, in a span of 1 week, I went to the doctor. I was feeling sick again. They told me in one doctor's visit, you got gallbladder stones, you got kidney stones, you got ulcers, you got chronic heart failure. I said, well, good day to you too, sir. I love you too. And they sent me to a kidney specialist. This was December of 2013. And went to the kidney specialist. He said, oh, you got phase 3 kidney failure. You need to be on dialysis. And he was buttering me up, saying this and that. I said, sir, I'm a big boy. In the natural, just can you please tell me what you're getting at? He said, okay, Mr. Bencourt, you're going to die. I said, okay, sir, good day to you too. And he said, but Mr. Bencourt, you're not just going to die, but you're going to die a painful death. I said, okay, good day to you again. So I went home, you know, cried a little bit, you know, a couple of days until I said, okay, put your big boy pants on now. You know what to do. I mean, my God, I'm born again, Holy Ghost filled, and I got the Word of God. I know what to do as you know what to do. So I did what I knew to do. I said, okay, I work for a living. I work certain hours a day. I can do the same thing in the prayer closet to believe God for my miracle. So I did that. I did what anybody else in here would do, incorporating what we're taught. And I did that. And something came over me within the first week or 2 weeks, 3 weeks of this. Something that I had never experienced in my life. I went in there to have my youth renew like the eagles. I went in there with boldness. Because I know that God's word is holy and it's infallible. It's purer than the purest of gold. I know that and you know that. We all know that. That God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord, it's tried. He's a buckler to all those that trust in him. So what did I do? I dug deep. I mean, after all, my life was at stake, so I might as well dig deep. So I decided, I assume I'm looking forward still. Am I not looking to decide? Okay. Pastor Bronk said I'm doing good, so I'm doing good. So I decided I'm going to put my hand to the plow, and I'm not looking back. If I'm going to go, I'm going to go swinging. And just to let you know, 70-80% of what I had, it's gone bye-bye. So according to what's been fulfilled, according to Jesus Christ fulfilling the words of Isaiah, it's just a matter of time, man. It doesn't matter if who tells me what. It's just a matter of time. It's in me. It's in my spirit, and it's running over into my soul. And my mind is being renewed by God's word. So it's people have said, well, I feel so. You don't got to feel sorry for me, man. I'm born again. You don't have to feel sorry for me. I got the Holy Ghost in me. I got the Word of God. King James. Oh, Pastor Jim. I not dare say I have an amplifier. I won't dare say it. Or American Standard and New King James. Hallelujah. But so I just decided to go in there. I mean, I had nothing to lose, right? So I went in there head first, committing to certain amount of time throughout the day. And a compassion and a love began to build in me that I never knew existed in the Father. I never knew that I could love the multitude like Jesus did. I didn't know that place existed. I didn't know that I could love Jesus Christ the way that I do now since January of this year. I didn't know that this place of comfort, of joy, of peace, of satisfaction, I did not know it existed. I had not a clue. My righteousness is what I knew. What my righteousness was, the revelation knowledge that I had, I would beat you up with it because I knew it and you didn't. That was my righteousness. Boy, was I a dummy. So during that time of just spin, yeah, pretty good, huh? So during that time of just purging, allowing the Holy Ghost through the purging process, as we know, through the edification, exhortation, and comfort process, something happened in my spirit. Hearing the word for hours a day, my soul began, my mind actually began to believe God's word. And I would just hide in certain miracles throughout the Gospels. As I asked the Father for instruction, I asked him, I said, Lord, what pasture would you have me dwell in, Lord? You know what I need. I don't need to read the book of Revelations if I'm dying, Lord. You know what I need. So I would dig Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John like a madman. Like a madman. And I would go to certain miracles and I would through imagery, I would put myself there. I would put myself there. I would follow him to the gate of the city Nain. I would put myself there. I would follow him to Jericho. I'd follow him everywhere through my mind. I would put myself there. Through imagery, I would see. So that's why no one can take this from me, man. No devil in hell, nothing can take this from me. Can I say that in church? Well, I just did, so it doesn't matter. Can't take back yesterday, right? So I went in there head first. And I began to take myself to Jairus as he beheld Jesus Christ. As he fell down and said, my daughter dieth. She's 12 years old. Just come lay your hands on her and heal her that she may live. And I would put myself there. I put myself there behind the Lamb of God. He said, Jairus, I'll go. I put myself in the journey from where Jairus worshiped Jesus and asked him to go to his home. I followed the communication. I was there. I put myself there. I put my mind, my will, my intellect, and my emotion. I put myself there to believe and to hear the words of Christ Jesus. When Jesus said, depending on which gospel you read, do not be afraid, just believe. Do not be afraid, just believe. She's not dead. She's asleep. I would put myself there. I would say, Homer, you're not blind. It's just dark outside. Light has come. And I would say that over and over and over again. Homer, son, I would cry. He would come. My emotions would come. When it got hard, I went to that which is easy. His word is easy. Homer, I would cry. Tears going down. Don't be afraid, boy. Just believe. Homer, you're not blind. It's just dark outside. Light has come. And I would saturate my mind and my emotions in these miracles throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So as far as the full manifestation of this, my friends, no one can take this from me. Why? Because the word of truth has been saturated in me since January. Like, it's always saturated me before, but I took it to the extreme. Why? Oh, because I was facing death. So let's take this to the extreme, boy. Let's saturate your mind, your will, and your emotions So I would put myself at every single miracle. I wouldn't say a word. I would put myself in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 as Jesus taught the multitude. That I would put myself as a student. Teach me. Teach me, Jesus. You are my perfect, perfect prototype. I want to see what you saw. I want to say what you said. I don't want to say what you didn't say. Jesus, you are my perfect prototype. What I need is in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I know it's there, Lord. So I would just camp out in the scriptures. I would just camp out. And sometimes I would forget that I couldn't see till I ran into the wall. And then I was reminded. But my friends, if there's anything that you hear tonight, you have to download perfection into your being. You have to renew your mind. Jesus in, Jesus out. Junk in, junk out. Nothing in, nothing out. Had I not known and incorporated what it all originated with Pastor Dave, had I not done, had I not heard his messages, I would not have made it. I would have been with my mother in heaven playing Mexican bingo. Mary, love you. Had I not, and I'm sure you'll agree, had I not listened to those messages, had I not incorporated them in my life, had I not prayed those hours in the Holy Ghost, had I not lifted my paws up and worshiped the King of Kings, I would not have made it. And when it got hard, I referenced 2 Timothy chapter 2. I referenced it. I referenced 2 Corinthians. When I thought things were going hard, I would reference the book of Philippians with Paul and the Thessalonian keep. I would reference that. I said, boy, you got no excuse. I would reference 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I would reference 2 Timothy chapter 2. What's in 2 Timothy chapter 2? This operation, this word, it cannot be bound. No devil in hell can bind an internal operation that has the life of God in it. There's no way in the world that it can be bound. So I would saturate myself hour upon hour. Not that we're talking about time, but I would saturate myself, and it had a direct effect in my mind. So I thank all of you for the prayers, all of you for the words of encouragement. I receive it. But my friends, the word of truth abideth in me, and it will continue to abide in me. I can't wait to get back to Florida Saturday to get back on my routine to honor my King, push back the plate a little bit, pray in the Spirit, and read the Bible. Remember this, if you run into a hard time, reference Philippians when he said, rejoice in the Lord. Are you serious, Paul? Are you trying to tell me to rejoice in the Lord? You're in prison. You're in human dung. How dare you tell me to rejoice in the Lord, Paul? Don't you know that I can't see a little bit? So I would take the words of Paul in prison, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. He said, let your gentleness be known unto all men. He said, the Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication that your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So I figure this. I figure if Paul could say that in human dung up to his waist, I figure if he could instruct the church and edify the church from prison, I figure the least I could do is take those writings and incorporate them and download them in my soul and get on with this thing, man. Amen. 1 minute and I'm done. 1 minute. 1 minute. Two at the most. Three tops. I heard Pastor Dave when I first got saved, when I first got on this walk. You know, the thing that I loved about Pastor Dave is the first time that I saw him, I never heard him in person, but I saw his eyes. I said, my God, I've got to be like that man. I've got to do what he does. I have to. And his teachings, as we all know, as we turn ourselves over to the Holy Ghost, we win. So the words of 2 Timothy chapter 4, my friends, we're going to keep the faith. We're going to finish the course. We're going to fight a good fight. I tell Pastor Bronk, and I'm done. I tell Pastor Bronk, I'm going to finish this thing, Pastor. I'm going to finish this. I'm going to finish it. If I go home, and this isn't just a vain babbling, just something that sounds good. If I go home, my friends, it won't be of sickness. Either I'll be martyred, I'll be raptured, or I'll go home in my bed with my Bible on my bosom. I refuse it. All glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Amen. Big dog. Pastor, I mean. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I wanted you to see a living epistle of hope. Did that sound like hope? That did not. That's not the hope we're talking about. It's not, you know, the church gets it mixed up. They think the hope that we're talking about is a wish. The hope that we're standing on is concrete. But did you get the way that he got it? Saturation of the Word of God. If you go out of here understanding anything about that testimony, understand that it was through. He didn't muster that up. They come up through the supernatural Word of God. Now he's been listening. You're saying, how's he getting all that? He's just listening to those tracks. Hour after hour after hour. How many of you think it built some hope in Homer? You know, God's no respecter of persons. Do the same thing for you. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5 for just a moment. Hold your place there, and then also go to Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1 of chapter 12 says this. I'll just read that and then we'll go back to Romans. It says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Everybody say weight. Grace. And sin, which so easily doth beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We're getting to a place where, I'm not saying we're sinless, by no means. But a lot of the strongholds, a lot of the, you know, the major ones at this point in time, hopefully have been pulled out. But now he's coming after weights. You know what a weight is? The Greek says it's a mass that bends you over. It's something that is a distraction. It's something that takes away. Now, Romans chapter 5... You know, I said at the beginning is that we're in a process of change, and as we begin to change and as we're hearing all this, the more that we do, the more the enemy is going to send everything possible to get us into a place where we take on a lot of distractions, if it's possible. That's that weight. It's not necessarily that we chose to walk into something that was going to distract us, but we find ourselves a lot of times in those places of tribulation. And in the midst of it, it seems like our hope just goes to a place, if we don't watch it, our hope goes to a place where, man, we were all filled with hope at the conference. And then we get back home. And then, my God, I mean, they were waiting for me when I got back. They had a conference while I was gone. We're having a conference, they're having a conference. So they're waiting at the door with tribulation. They're waiting at the door with tests. They're waiting at the door with everything that says you didn't get anything and you're not going forward. Now, you've heard Pastor Dave illustrate this so many times before in the past, and it's familiar to us, but let me just read. Verse 1 of chapter 5 in Romans says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And we rejoice. Everybody say rejoice.
Rejoice.
We rejoice in what? In hope. And I'm not going to let my hope go. Tulsa's in revival. Homer can see. Your children are saved. The city you're from is saved. We're going to bring back the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. And there ain't no stopping us. As Gary says, there's no quitting sense in us. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, you look like somebody that just don't look like they're going to quit ever on God. Hallelujah. But here's where our hope comes in. It says here it's by something that we know. It says, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation. Now, we're on the edge of change. We're on the edge of God teaching us things like we've never known before for the purpose of where we're going. There's only one thing that's going to try to stand between us, and that's everything that he can throw at us besides the kitchen sink. And if it's not against you, it's usually against your kids. Now, the kids aren't the distraction, but what the kids are going through can be the distraction. But he says here, knowing that tribulation worketh, or it says employs, or goes and puts into effect. Now, we want you to go home knowing this, not with an expectation of hard times. We want you to go home understanding that you're learning something this week, and you're understanding something that is a foundation. Now, for many of you, this is not a new walk. You understand tribulation. You understand what comes on the beginning of change. But the word says here that when tribulation comes, that it works patience. That word patience is the word hufamine, or it's the word consistency. A lot of times we think that patience is just putting up with something. It's not just putting up with it. The word here really, and it can mean endurance, but what it's saying here is that we stay consistent. We stay, patience means consistency. The very first thing that should also be a trigger point in our hearts and minds of what the Word is teaching us this week, and we begin to allow the Holy Spirit to program us. I hope one of the first things that begins to click in our hearts and minds is that the more that he comes, or when he tries to introduce something new to us, is that we rely and say, look, I'm going to continue to employ the patience of God in my life. And I hope that you understand this, and I want to get this across to you, that what patience means here is the force of consistency. It means always being the same or doing your best. In the South, we say, just keep getting up and putting your britches on the same way. In other words, what was going on in your life yesterday in consistency, if you learned the Word of God and you learned the Word is taking you into a place that will change your life, when all hell hits and when the tribulation hits, don't let that change your pattern. Don't let that change what you're deciding to do this week, because the Holy Spirit is speaking to so many of you and saying, look, he's tailor-making it for you. I'm not the Holy Spirit in your life. None of these preachers are the Holy Spirit in your life. But I guarantee you, in your quiet times, the Holy Spirit is challenging each of us to go back and go into a place of consistency in the Lord. And to go back into a place of more prayer. You heard Homer say, I can't wait to get back home, go into more prayer and more of the Word of God. Now, when things hit, it's easy for us to just lose all that and lose track of time. And I don't know, I once knew a man. Paul said, I knew a man that went to heaven. Well, I once knew a man that fell out of prayer. Don't ask me how I know that. What's that, Gary? You met Gary? He says, I met him once. I met him once. I met the same dude. Because he forgot the force of consistency. Pastor Khan, come up here. My Russian brother. Stan turned. This looks like strength to me. This looks like, oh, I'll never give up. My Russian brother. Patience. The word says that when something comes, and we're talking a little bit this afternoon about hope, that tries to defer your hope of where you're going, of everything that is being sowed inside of you this week. When the tribulation comes for that purpose, to destroy that hope, one of the trigger points in your mind and in your spirit lining up should be this: I'm not going to stop. I don't care how it feels. The word says tribulation, when it comes, it's not coming from God, but it does trigger something. You have inside of you, inside of everything that God has created in there, you have the likeness of Christ. You are one with Him. How many of you know that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever? And if you'll go to that place inside of you, the word says that tribulation will employ patience. Or it worketh patience. If you'll stop before it goes too far, before you go 3 months without communion with the Lord and realize things are not going the way that you expected them to go, if you'll stop at the beginning of it and say, look, what is it? What is it that I need to do? I need to just continue to be consistent in what I've been doing. Don't stop. No matter how I feel, the word says here, it says, and patience, this is first base, but it takes us to a four-part harmony here. It says, and patience does what? Patience employs experience. It begins to employ experience. In other words, if I stay patient enough, then in the midst of it, why don't you go over and get that guy? It looks like that guy right there. I'm pointing at Chuck. Go ahead. Come on up here, Chuck. Patience goes to a place where it reaches out and says, look, I'm going through something that feels like it's going to steal all my hope. The tribulation comes for that purpose. But if I stay patient, or if I stay in a place of consistency, then the word says it's going to continue to work in me to a place of experience. Now, it's not talking about the experience that the devil is bringing. Because if you allow the devil to train you, if you allow the trial to train you, it's going to take you all your hope. Yeah. But the experience that it's talking about is that if you stay consistent in the Word of God, all of everything that is coming at you, the resistance that you're going to have to put up with, or put up to the resistance by the Word of God, that's going to teach you an experience in God that's going to build your hope to a place. Alan's been talking about, I don't know how many of you heard the messages on the book of Job. If you haven't heard those, they're on the website. They're wonderful. I've never understood it that way. It was a challenge to begin with, but thank God. We're coming to a place where God so expects us to grow up in Christ that your daddy is actually, through you, picking fights with the devil. Some of you are thinking, well, I wish he wouldn't pick a fight through me, because I'd just soon he lose my address. But the fact of the matter is, in the midst of the experience, there's something taking place inside of you. Homer, what has come at him, that's not been from God. But there's an experience working in the midst of it. And the experience is coming through the Word of God. Now, you can't always pick and choose your trials and tribulations, but if you do know this, if you stay consistent, the next thing that's going to happen in your life is something's going to begin to grow out of an experience with God, you spending time with Him and spending time with the Word of God, to the point that it says this, an experience brings forth what? It brings forth hope. It brings forth, and that's not a, that word hope there is not wishing. That word is a godly expectation. A Tulsa's in revival. Immokalee's in revival. Your kinfolk are saved. You can't see it. But if you stay in the experience enough, then hope is going to, won't you come up here? This guy goes and gets him. Doesn't he look like hope? But you know what? Hope, that expectation, it doesn't just leave you there. It takes you to the next place. How many of you, I hope that you heard that what Homer said, he said that in the midst of his experience, he realized that there was a place that you could come to love God like he never realized that you could come to love God. The other thing that he has been testifying of this is this. He realizes now, God didn't put that on him, but once he went into his prayer closet on a weekly basis and said, look, I can't work anymore. I can't see to drive anymore. I'm going to spend the same amount of time in prayer. That force of consistency began to work an experience inside of him that has built the hope that you're hearing here today. But it not only, it didn't stop at that hope. It went to the next place. Now, if we could have somebody up here, I don't know, you'd have to get somebody really wonderful to express love. V. Marie, why don't you come up here? Doesn't this look like love? These guys, they're heroes of mine. They're the people that, you know, I used to hear Dave in the early days talk about if they ever came, if anybody ever moved from a third world country and came over here and experienced America and they felt like they had a call to go back, it was very, very hard to get them to ever go back. Something would change their mind and they'd usually call it God, but it was usually prosperity. These guys came over here and trained for years and went back to where they're from. And that was Colombia. And Ricky was actually shot over there one time. But praise God, they're here today. They're servants of the Lord. This is the example of love. But one of the things that Homer was saying was, hope took him to a place where the experience developed in him so strong that he began to say, God, I love you more than ever before. But you know the most important thing he's been saying to me? He's saying, I love God's people more than I ever have before. I never realized that the progression that I started out with would take me to a place where love would be so strong in my life. And listen, when you get to the point where love begins to envelop everything that you believe, your miracle is there. Your miracle is absolutely there, and not only is your miracle there, you're going to begin to be a walking, you know what Jesus was? He was a love with two legs. Everywhere he went. It was so easy for the Father to just flow through him because there was nothing to inhibit because he was walking love. Listen, that's where we're going. That's where all of these experiences are taking place. That's where the changing of the soul and the baggage leaving. It's taking us to a place where the works that he did will do also. Because the love of God is going to get stronger and stronger and stronger through the experiences that we're facing. We're not going to quit and we're going to say, I'm going forward no matter what hell throws at me. I'm going forward. And in the midst of it, I'm going to get to the same place that Jesus lived his entire life. And that's in the fullness of the agape of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you love the Lord? This is really the time and season for us to become laser focused. It really is the time and season for us to just sell out completely to God. Why don't you stand with me this afternoon? Let's just worship just a little bit more. Hallelujah. Did you receive any hope today through that testimony, through the Word of God? I want us to go out of here this afternoon with an expectation. What's tomorrow going to be like? Hallelujah. We may get in that worship service tomorrow night and just worship ourselves right into revival. Hallelujah.